Hello, and welcome to the Cannabis Corner. I am your host, Joshua Braff, and I'm here with my partner, farmer Adam Teitelbaum. Today we have Sarah Pion, who is an award-winning cannabis educator specializing in cancer-related therapies. She is the director of education at the Apothecarium in San Francisco, vice chair of the San Francisco Cannabis State Legislation Task Force, a writer and industry consultant, and a patient advocate and stage 3 colon cancer survivor. I'm so grateful to have you today, Sarah. What would you say to an employer that says, I am going to drug test and I'm going to put on probation or fire an employee of mine who has not passed the cannabis test, even though that person says to you, I have arrived at a place of wellness. I am no longer drinking. I am no longer on pills. I have a regimen that involves CBD. And I believe that it's unjust that I was put on probation.
That's a really hard one. I mean, I have patients that come to me all the time asking, but if I do a high CBD preparation and I get drug tested, how is that going to turn out? I really feel for people who are going through that. This seems like there's some change that's happening in some of the legal cases around that. And I know that like in Arkansas, where I was just the other week, they're putting together protections for people who are going to be patients and might be subject to drug testing, that if they're medical cannabis patients, that nothing can be done to them, which is awesome. That's a huge start because we're not seeing that anywhere else. I mean, even in California, you can still lose your job if part of their policy is around drug testing, and if you prove to be positive for cannabis.
Yeah, a lot of things have not caught up to where so many others are with cannabis.
Did you know Arkansas was a front runner for that, Adam?
Yeah, actually, there was an article that I read, it was either a week or two ago, stating that, and I thought that that was incredible, because what's just happened here in Colorado is that businesses have just started to evolve with cannabis. So I'm not saying that it's okay with all businesses. If you're going to be a truck driver, unfortunately, I think that's a problem there. If you're operating, you know, heavy machinery, that is still going to probably be a problem. But other companies that used to drug test for cannabis no longer drug test for cannabis because everybody knows somebody who is using it in a positive manner. So almost everybody does.
Right. In the new reel, there's a podcast called The Cannabis Corner, but our goal is not to get people high. It's to have people have options for side effects and options for various illnesses that have proven to be remedied by different kinds of intake. And again, less is more, and having a mentor of sorts to help you begin is a big deal. So as the stigma lifts, you see people from all over the world taking it on. And that's really the message, is that a CBD could be part of a holistic diet that allows a person to be healthy from the inside out. And as we chase down certain diseases with specific meds that are fads or not, people are finding themselves feeling groggy and tired and out of it, and in ways that make it very difficult to participate in life.
Well, you know, and I don't think there should be a problem for people also who maybe choose to microdose and so may not be really experiencing psychoactive effects, or people who at the end of the day choose to smoke a bowl instead of have a couple of drinks. I don't see why behaving in that way should prohibit you from doing any type of work, really.
Right. So as we approach 2020, where they say they throw out the number $20 billion in revenue, you start to think, wow, the demand is very real. And here come the regulations which allow for it in certain zip codes. But you can see how many steps there are to get past some of the amazing propaganda that has been set in motion over the years in our young country.
I don't have the name of it here. I wish I did. I will look it up. But I know that there is a 12-step program right now that incorporates cannabis into getting people off of certain substances like alcohol and other addictive drugs, pills, etc. So that's certainly a step in a different direction.
Right.
And that's something that we've talked about, is using cannabis to wean people from alcohol. I know many people who've done it. Opioid abuse, we've talked about it. Not a way towards the abuse, a way off the abuse, or and to a safer alternative that doesn't have negative side effects. I mean, of course, anything can be abused. But, yeah, hopefully more people are being educated and learning this. And people like Sarah are doing that at the Apothecarium. I wanted to ask you, what do you tend to be educating people most for? Is it a variety of things, or does it tend to be more, you know, cancer or glaucoma or chronic pain? Or what do you tend to be seeing at your place?
I tend to find a lot of people who are looking for non-euphoric relief through cannabis, either for their pain or for anxiety, and a lot of people are needing help with sleep. I find a lot of people who are using cannabis, they may be using it for other things such as cancer or other issues that they're dealing with, but a lot of us run around with a lot of underlying anxiety, and maybe it's just from the society that we're living in here, but people are just so relieved when they can find non-euphoric versions of relief, and then they get a little bit more curious about having a little bit more body feel. Like, what would that be like? And that's when we start talking about preparations that may have a little bit more THC in there. And it's amazing how people are afraid of euphoria. I've mentioned this before when I've lectured. I'm like, they're like, someone will come in and be like, I'm dealing with all this stuff and I don't want to get high. And I'm like, okay, so what are you taking? And they're like, well, I'm taking Norco and I'm taking Xanax. And I'm like, so you are. You're getting pharma high. I mean, that's high, even if your doctor says it's okay. You know, and we can actually take that back a notch, like with CBD. I always explain to people that high ratios of CBD to THC, that CBD is more about homeostasis than it is almost anything else. It's like it takes you to a nice base level without feeling like you're on benzos, almost like somebody opened up a valve and let the steam out, where you can do math and be social, perhaps even be downright charming. I mean, but you're like in your body, and a lot of that tension is just out of the way because you have that balance. Things aren't firing off, creating that anxiety.
Yeah, and I think having at least a little THC, I mean, if a small amount. You can have such a small amount that many people won't feel it, but having that in there helps with that entourage effect, whereas even treating cancer, it's being shown right now that treating with a combination of CBD and THC is much more effective than CBD alone, but even better yet to include CBCs, CBDs, and CBGs, and CBDA, and THCA. I mean, that all that combination is really great for something like cancer, but I got off point there. Sorry.
No, not really. The THC part we did learn has the effect on the nausea. It's yeah. Not the CBD in that case, and that is a biggie for people with who are taking pharmaceuticals.
Yeah, well, and in addition, when you're dealing with cancer, if you're having people that are having issues with eating, CBD is an anorectic. So you really want to, if you're going to do something that somebody needs to eat, you probably want to have a more equal ratio of CBD to THC so you don't have those issues.
Right, and that THC level can be very low. That's important to note to people, that you don't have to be high to feel those effects, and this is where we say it's important to start slow with somebody who knows what they're doing. And certainly you can research online, research everything we're saying, because there's certainly a lot of truths being said here at a time when there's a great deal more acceptance.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting, as you were talking about the ratio factor, that you need to find that ratio that is right for you, whether it's 1-to-1, 2-to-1, 20-to-1, you know, or what have you, because there are so many different types, and finding the right one is so important, because you may try one and that's not the right fit. So, and to have somebody like, you know, Sarah, or the helpful blood tenders at our place holding, you know, your hand through it, really becomes, you know, less scary and quicker and less expensive, I think. So it's great that you have the specific position that you do, and you probably really enjoy it, because I'm guessing you get to help a lot of people out.
I love my work. Before I did this, when I was working in nonprofit, I loved my work there too. I worked in civil rights, but I find that just having the direct patient contact and hearing about people getting relief, it's wonderful. I had a patient a little over a month ago who came in who's been struggling with breast cancer, and she has really bad neuropathy. She's in her 70s, and she came in with her son, and they were very reluctant about it. They were very nervous when I was checking them in, and they didn't want people to know what they were doing because of the stigma, and she really, really didn't want to get high, but she was using gabapentin, and it was just making her woozy, and she wasn't getting any relief whatsoever. So I started her on an 18-to-1 tincture and telling her that, you know, it'll help with the neuropathy, but it would also help with anxiety if she was dealing with it. And she's like, I'm not an anxious person. And her son looks at her, her adult son. He's like, oh, yeah, you are. She called, like, the next day, and she was just like, I can't believe it. Like, I still have numbness, but the burning and the pain is gone. She's like, and I didn't realize how anxious I was because I feel so much more balanced now. And I'm really angry that I've been struggling with this and this hasn't been part of the conversation. And the kicker was she's a retired pharmaceutical rep.
That is a kicker.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because nobody's more successful than the pharmaceutical rep.
Has she gone on to share? I would assume she'd want to share her success story.
Yeah. Yeah, she was really adamant about, if you need me to write something or you want me to speak, I'm there because this is something that people need to know about. And that's what I get, especially from a lot of my older patients, because they were just pummeled with all the stigma around cannabis. And now they're finding, wow, I didn't have to take all these drugs that have all these gnarly side effects. I could have just done this. And it's not, there's no reefer madness isn't real. People feel relieved that they have relief, and then they feel cheated that they went without it for so long.
I have heard that. I have heard people say, I so wish I had this information earlier. And what a great impetus for us to say to people, find yourself in a place where you can be relieved of this stigma if you are looking for some relief in the ways that we are discussing. Because it's an important time and a new reel in a country where perhaps the pharmaceuticals are, in a combination, the best result for you. But also keep in mind that that is a chemical, and what we're talking about here is actually natural. Adam, other questions for Sarah?
Are you finding with patients that you're talking to, is the most common methods of ingestion are vaping and smoking? Is that right?
I'd say that it would be vaping, smoking, and the use of sublinguals in tincture form. Smoking is still really popular. Tinctures and topicals tend to be some of the first things that patients try, especially when they're nervous about cannabis. And vaping, we have a lot of discussions around that because it's interesting what we call vaping, because the pens, we call those vape pens, but it's high temperature atomization. It's not really vaporization. And so I have to kind of break it down for people and let them know that, you know, if you really want to do true vaporizing, you're looking at probably full flowers with something like, you know, a Da Vinci or a Pax or a Volcano or what have you. And that's actually the best way to do it. And how explaining to them, you know, the difference between toasting the flower and, you know, actually having combustion. The vape pens, I think, are great, especially for like under the radar medications. You need something to dissipate quickly. I have a patient who does overnight dialysis, and his sativa pen actually helps him keep his blood pressure up. And then alternatively, you have patients that are living in Section 8 housing that if they're caught medicating on the premises could lose their homes. But they don't mind if they are addicted to opiates. I mean, that's some crazy stuff. So I'm not, for me, like the vape pens, I think they have a place as a tool. But I really encourage my patients to do full flower vaporization. I think it's healthier.
Great, and I don't know when this will be, if we're able to reach a point here in our society where it isn't that way, you know, where it's okay to, you know, take horrible pharmaceuticals or, you know, to drink yourself to death. But cannabis can ruin your life if a certain authority, a government, or an employer finds out. I look forward to the day when that's not the case at all, but I can't really quite picture that yet.
Well, we will attempt to get there in time and with the demand that America is showing, at least. Sarah, I want to thank you so much for your time and for coming in and speaking to us.
Oh, thank you.
To have a cancer survivor is an interesting and important thing for the Cannabis Corner. And Adam and I, we have met a few, and it means a great deal to us that you can speak to others who don't realize that they're going to be in this bout, but who will be. And it's a real truth about us as humans in this society is that there is this obstacle there. And so all options should be looked at, certainly the one that we discuss, this herb that's been around for so many centuries and giving people relief. Let's hear it for lifting the stigma and for someone who went through such a difficult time and was able to find relief through not just cannabis. So that's important to note. It wasn't just cannabis that got you to the place you are, but it was a major part of making that a better experience. Is that a better experience? Is that true?
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, I'd add to it that when I started my work at Apothecarium a year out of chemo, one of the most valuable things for me in my healing process was I was going back to school at the same time, meeting other survivors and finding out that what's normal and what's not what you're going through and that it's okay. And a big part of my healing was that and being able to work with my cancer patients and bear witness to their suffering and support them. It helped heal me too, helping them.
That makes a lot of sense. There was a catharsis in looking in the eyes of people who had suffered in similar ways, and you have this information for them. This is very, very interesting and valuable information for anyone who is ill. So, Sarah, is there anything you'd like to say as far as people connecting with you or websites or anything like that?
Sure. If they want to connect with me, I'm at the Apothecarium in San Francisco. And if you want to follow me on my Instagram, I'm Sarah Mitra Payan, SaraMitraPayan. And I put up a lot of educational stuff and just my stuff about my life working with cannabis and my patients.
What a wonderful person to talk to if you are ready to explore and research and get a better take on cannabis as medicine. Thank you, Sarah. Stratos pharmaceutical grade cannabis tablets are formulated to satisfy your specific needs, offering cannabis tablets such as for energy, relaxation, sleep, three different CBD strength tablets. Stratos is changing the way patients utilize their cannabis for medical effects or for recreation. As the first U.S. pharmaceutical professionals to develop cannabis products, we are raising the bar in the THC-infused industry by meeting and exceeding industry standards for potency, accuracy, reproducibility, and cleanliness in developing products without all the unnecessary calories and sugar in traditional edibles. Stratos, elevate your being. Welcome back to the Cannabis Corner. We're going to continue our conversation with Sarah Payan. We also have Dr. Rachna Patel, who is an expert in the field out of Walnut Creek and sees many, many patients of different ages and all different severities of issues. And she's been finding great success in prescribing cannabis to a variety of people. Today, I would like to read a sentence that brought us together. The impetus of our conversation today is cancer and cannabis. The National Cancer Institute recently released its report on medical marijuana. The overview of their conclusion is that THC caused a 45% reduction in bladder cancer, remission in breast and liver cancer, and more. The "and more" takes us again into a vague area in the sense that you can't be serious that marijuana is going to be a front runner in battling cancer cells. But we find ourselves saying, don't count it out. And here now the National Cancer Institute puts out information like this. They say among their findings, they have found that cannabis is not associated with adverse pulmonary function and does not cause lung cancer, or any aerodigestive tract cancers. They found cannabis has great anti-tumoral activity. Through their testing, they have determined that cannabis is more effective than conventional drugs that ease nausea. All of the drugs that ease nausea are coming up second to cannabis. And it said that an inhaled marijuana was more effective in chemo-induced nausea than any other currently available treatment. So we've got two things. Yes, the side effects for people who are treating severe diseases have been lessened by cannabis, but also this 45% reduction in bladder cancer, remission in breast, and liver cancer. Dr. Patel, can you weigh in on this, your thoughts? It's almost as if the evolution of what we're learning is day by day. Here in deep August 2017, is this really working for cancer patients?
Okay, so we need to put those facts that you mentioned into context.
Makes sense.
And I'm actually on the answer.gov site myself that the National Institute of Health has put together. And the information that you have is based on research done in cell cultures and in animal models. To date, there's actually only one clinical trial that's been done in humans. So, yes, there's evidence in cell cultures and in animal models that marijuana has anti-cancer properties. However, how well that translates to humans at this point is uncertain.
And is the reason for that being uncertain at this date because it is a Schedule I controlled substance?
Yeah, so the research is limited because it's a Class I substance. It's difficult for us to carry out clinical trials in humans. And there was one study that done. Let's see, this one was done back, this was done in Spain. And it was a pilot study of a few, very few patients, about, I think it was around 10 to 15, not more than that, where what they did was these were patients that had glioblastoma multiforme. So basically, it's a cancer in the brain. And they injected THC into those tumors. And in some of the cases, yes, they did see success, but it's such a small sample size that you can't really extrapolate any conclusions from it. So that's pretty much it in terms of a clinical trial that's been conducted, as far as I know. Since then, there have, this was back in 2006. So,
Dr. Patel?
Yes.
I'm curious as to why we don't see more of these studies out of a country like Israel that is, you know, far ahead of where we are, because it's obviously cannabis isn't treated the same as it is as a Schedule I substance. I don't know how it is in other countries, but don't you think that that's strange that a country like that hasn't done human studies?
They have. They have actually done studies. There was a trial that was completed in 2015, but as far as I know, there haven't been any results that have been published. There is another company. There's a company called GW Pharma. I don't know if you've heard of it.
But sure, they're huge.
And yeah, and what they do is that they're basically making what you can probably find at dispensaries here, but they're putting it, you know, quote unquote, pharmaceutical form. I believe they're trying to conduct research as well, and they seem to have special permission to do this research. So, yeah, there's little baby steps being taken, but not there hasn't been significant progress.
Let me jump in here a second. Sarah, at the legalization task force, what is the conversation going on around cancer? And perhaps that's not the place where it's being discussed, or other severe diseases. And I guess also, when you approached fighting your bout, what was the language that was being used by the doctors? Is it similar to what's being said now? We don't have enough to act on. Can you weigh in there, Sarah?
Sure. Well, from the task force standpoint, we're just starting to have more conversations about medical cannabis, because for so long, the past 2 years, we've really kept that separate, because our task at hand has been to set up policies for when we legalize adult use cannabis. And now that the state is lumping both medical and adult use together, where this year we'll probably have some more conversations around that, especially around the types of medicines that are available.
Mm-hmm.
As far as my experience goes, I used it to mitigate symptoms from my my treatment. I didn't realize at the time when I was going through my cancer treatment what it could do. And actually, when I started working in this field, I had patients coming up to me asking about the oil cure, which really, it kind of took me aback, because when you're critically ill, people come out of the woodwork trying to sell you all sorts of magic beans. And I really was reluctant to have the conversation. But as I started meeting more and more patients that weren't supposed to be here, who as a last resort worked with an oil therapist, and they're here today, that's really something. And so I think there's more experiential research that isn't, how would you say it? It's not official research that's been happening. There is, like in Spain, like Cristina Sanchez is doing some really interesting work with it. In the Bay Area here, we've had people like Mara Gordon from Aunt Zelda's that have some really interesting protocols, and she's treated some of my patients as well. So to be able to hear back what's been going on with that as far as stopping tumor growth has been really fascinating. When people come to me to ask about it, of course, I always say that I can help them with things around their symptoms or even helping prevent neuropathy using CBD. But for oil therapies, that's a very big responsibility and should be left to people who are doing that kind of therapeutic work.
The word oil is a big one coming up, and obviously it can be seen as a pill, and anyone who might know someone who has been diagnosed with cancer, these days it seems like some kind of high-dose treatment of something that's not psychoactive would be very beneficial in the bloodstream. Dr. Patel, do you agree with that? If you saw someone of any age who came with a diagnosis of cancer, would your immediate thought be to hopefully help them with high doses of non-psychoactive cannabis?
Well, the way I practice is that I believe in optimal dosing. I think there's some counterintuitive thinking going on where in order for a medication to be effective, you have to be on high doses of it. That's
right.
Not necessarily the case.
Okay.
Really, you need to be on optimal doses of it, because really what can happen is if you overdo the marijuana, the body becomes tolerant to it. Scientifically, the reason being that you have this whole process of receptor downregulation going on, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So basically you have these tiny little cells, and they have these little receptors on them that react to the marijuana. So basically, if you overexpose the body to it, the cell's just like, you know what, forget it. I'm just going to stop making receptors. And no matter how much more marijuana you put in, there's not enough receptors to react to that marijuana.
Well, like so many medicines, amoxicillin's the same thing. You don't want to overuse it or your body will grow to not recognize it. So that's a very good point. Not high doses, but appropriate to the person or appropriate to the illness?
I would say appropriate to the person.
Okay.
I'd also add that what a lot of researchers that I've spoken with have realized is that the older we get, the less we need.
That's interesting. So when in talking about children, that would be the person who is seeing the biggest dose?
That's what they're saying. A lot of the oil therapists that I've spoken with have said that for children, there are definitely higher dosages. But then as we get older, and it does depend on personal metabolism and the type of cancer, we see people using less and less and being able to do the same kind of work.
And Dr. Patel, I remember you talking about that less is certainly more.
Yeah, I would be careful with that, because what I found is that in children especially, dosing varies highly from patient to patient, but in children especially, you want to be careful, because there have been cases in Colorado with accidental overdoses on marijuana where children have come into the emergency room overdose, in comatose is what I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
So I stay away from generalization when it comes to dosing, and it's very individual per patient. I'm not even telling patients how much to take. I walk them through a methodology so that they can figure out what the right dose for them is, so that they're getting the medical benefits without experiencing any side effects from the marijuana. And that is your optimal dose.
That is very well put. The optimal dose is a very important part of this topic. We will have more with our interview with Dr. Rachna Patel and Sarah Payan in a future episode of The Cannabis Corner. If you are interested in advertising, please go to our website, thecannabiscorner.net, and write us a note, and we will get right back to you. Any topic is interesting to us, and all your questions are very interesting to us, too. We'll see you next time on The Cannabis Corner.